This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. The power of cloud is bringing down prices and making it easier for SMEs to use software systems and business tools. And today I'm speaking to Vincent Choi. He's an enterprise social consultant and also from Fidelis. And he's also Microsoft's most valuable professional or MVP. Fun fact, he's only one of 966 Microsoft MVPs in the world. Vincent, before we talk about the power of cloud and, you know, how businesses can leverage it on it, you know, I want to talk about being Microsoft MVP. I see you sport the shirt as well, you know, Microsoft MVP on your how did this came about? Because this is only one in, you know, 966 people around the world. How did this whole Microsoft MVP came about to you?
First, I'd like to thank you for inviting me here. Maybe the number is a little bit off, right? I think there's more than 966, but it is a very small number.
Yeah.
Right? In Malaysia, if you actually do a little bit research, there's probably about 13 to 15 listed MVPs, right, in town.
Wow.
Okay. There's a little bit more, but some of them chose to keep quiet about it, right? So they asked their identity to be kept secret. But publicly, we know there's probably about 13 to 15 MVPs.
Mm. So what does it mean to be an MVP?
It is actually an individual award. Okay, it's given to people who have a keen interest in Microsoft technology. They are very participative, okay, and they contribute a lot to the Microsoft ecosystem. So in recognition for their contributions, Microsoft actually give them an award. Right, so to qualify for one, you have to either be a very active blogger on Microsoft technology. You might be writing a lot of technical papers. You might be delivering a lot of training workshops, or you might be writing technical books on Microsoft. Right, and the benefit is once a year you get invited to Microsoft Redmond Campus, and that is a time where they show you all their secret stuff, and you're supposed to sign a lot of NDAs, swearing on this and that you never tell the world. And they basically ask your opinion about their direction and their products. And they take this opinion seriously and they use that in their planning.
And you got it because you're an enterprise social consultant and you've been, you know, dealing with Microsoft as your partner for quite a number of years now?
I got it, maybe. Okay, maybe for a few reasons. Number one, I'm quite active in the support community. So sometimes you have a Microsoft problem, you go to the community and you ask a question. Sometimes it is actually me who is replying. We do quite a bit of education workshops, on average about one a month, right? And sometimes I get invited to speak at Microsoft events as well. So all these count toward the scoring system on whether you qualify for the award in a particular year.
Mm. And what does your an enterprise social consultant do? Like, what is that term? Because, you know, enterprise is very different. A lot of people would think enterprise and then social and then consultant are just three different things. And, you know, for you, what does it actually mean?
There's been a paradigm shift in how people communicate. Okay, if you notice, we get work done mostly by WhatsApp now. And we use email to actually confirm the WhatsApp. Right? So the way people communicate has changed. We would term that social communication or Facebook-like communication, but we use that for work. Right? We discuss things like WhatsApp style. We post a document and say, what do you think of this? And people give their comments. So we're actually using enterprise social at work. So as an enterprise social consultant, basically what I do is I go in and I consult customers. Right, who are thinking, hey, I want to make use of this social way of communication. How would that apply in a work situation?
And there are a lot of cloud-based applications that support this kind of social.
For one, some people try to use Facebook. I don't recommend that because Facebook, your profile is your personal profile. Like, for example, you're a father of three children, you know. But when you ask a question at work, you actually want to ask the HR manager a specific question, right? So you can use Facebook. Microsoft has a product called Yammer. There are some other products that are in the market as well. So yeah, there are.
So let's talk about the cloud and enterprise then, specifically cloud-based applications. There's productivity tools as well, like Microsoft Office 365, and then obviously there's Google as well with Google Apps for Work. What are the two differences, and how do they benefit an organization? And is it more for any organization where even SMEs are included as well?
Well, that's a very interesting question. We get asked that quite a bit. Google is a cloud-only application. That means there's only one way of getting the product. You go to Google, you subscribe, and you access the product using the internet. Microsoft is kind of old school, right? You have people using it on their PCs, you have people using it on their laptops, you have organizations having their products in their computer room, on their servers, right? And today, you can also get those products, right, on the cloud on a subscription basis. So my advice would be, if a customer is new, starting fresh, you have no legacy, you don't have any old systems in place, right? Then you have a choice of either of these platforms. But if like many other customers, you have Microsoft technology in the office already, and when you sign up, for example, Exchange Online, which is the email, you want it to talk to a lot of other systems, in which case interoperability matters quite a bit. Then in that case, you might be choosing Microsoft as a platform instead.
What's the benefit of offices SMEs, jumping on into Microsoft Office 365, for example?
There's been a lot of things going on, that benefits SMBs in terms of cloud. In the past, SMBs have limited budget. Software and hardware tend to be expensive. So you tend to compromise. It's like sometimes you take a budget airline and then you've got long queues and the flight delay, and then people say, serves you right, who asked you to fly budget? But today, the same solution that an enterprise company is using, it is available to the SMB at a very negligible cost, as low as $4 per user per month. That's close to 20 ringgit right, a month, which is a very small sum of money. And you're getting the same software that you can get, the enterprise itself is using, like AirAsia is using, like people like GlaxoSmithKline, Global number 4, number 5, pharmaceutical is using.
And for them who are using these type of software, is that the same kind of requirements for an SMB as well, or do SMBs have a special kind of requirements?
Well, let's break it down. The enterprise customers expect the systems to be very reliable. Okay, they want 99.9% uptime. They need it to be very mobile. That means their guys are traveling all over the place and they need to be able to reply emails, make decisions with their mobile devices. They want to be able to collaborate with both their customers and their internal teams. It doesn't mean their enterprise means they're willing to pay you extra. Right? In fact, they bargain a lot harder than what an SMB would bargain. So when you look at these four things, the SMB also requires same kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Don't tell me the SMB says, oh, because I'm SMB, it doesn't need to be reliable. Right? Oh, because I'm SMB, I don't reply emails while I'm on the move, or I don't mind paying extra because I'm SMB. No. In fact, so you actually require the same things as any large enterprise.
I'm speaking to Vincent Choi, an enterprise social consultant and also Microsoft's most valuable professional. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about what to expect in 2016 and also how this Microsoft 365 and other cloud-based productivity tools help you to improve your business. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and I'm speaking to Vincent Choi, an enterprise social consultant and also Microsoft's most valuable professional, and he's from Fidelis. Vincent, 2016 is expected to be a challenging year. From your experience in consulting enterprises about systems integration, especially moving to a cloud model, how does this save business operations cost and also, more importantly, improve productivity?
I think what the company needs to ask itself is, so what are my challenges for this year? So what are my plans? So the owner might say, okay, it's a challenging year, right? Let's do status quo. Let's grow organically. But at the same time, we want to stay closer to our customers. We want to give the customers better experience so that they will buy from us. But at the same time, I need to manage costs. We need to be very careful on how we spend. And if possible, we even need to cut costs. Right, so that's a tall order. In other words, you want more by paying less. So one question that I find a lot of owners forget to ask is, can IT help? So for example, you want to be closer to your customers. How? Are you going to hire more salespeople? That's going to cost money. Are you going to authorize more international trips to visit your global customers? that's going to cost money as well, right? But IT, how about setting up some sort of customer portal, right? Or some customer website where you can actually interact with your customers, right? That's not going to cost you as much as hiring a number of extra salesperson or making many trips overseas.
So how does Office 365 then come in and fill the gap?
Office 365 actually is a suite of a number of products, okay, that can help any company be more agile, right, and to move quickly. So number one, it has a very good email system, huge mailboxes. You can access your email anywhere, highly reliable, so you can reply to your customers anytime. It also has communication tools, right, like Skype for Business, so you can cut down on meetings. You can hold discussions and web sessions with your customers without actually taking the trip. It has collaboration too, so you can set up a customer portal, you can set up a service portal, you can set up intranets. It also has social network, right, for companies to set up internal Facebook, so you can actually work Facebook-like.
And what about security issues? This is a shared cloud by subscribers in a way. You know, I'm sure a lot of SMEs would also then ask, you know, is it really safe? Is it really secure?
That's a favorite question for SMEs. My suggestion on how to approach this question is, let's pretend that cloud's not safe. Let's pretend. And you say, let's not use cloud. Then my question is, okay, if we are not going to use cloud, where are you going to put your IT resources? And for SMB, it could be a computer room, or it could be just a corner of the office. And then when we ask, so is that room audited for security? Oh, no, it's not. Who holds the key? Oh, we don't lock the door. So when you compare, right, a cloud service that has been audited by people like KPMG, right, complies to international standards, it's so secure that they don't even publish what is the address of the data center, right, then obviously it's a lot safer than the alternative where you put it in a small computer room or on the floor somewhere in your office.
Also, you know, what about adoption rate here in Malaysia? Do you see a rise in, you know, a lot of SMEs moving to the cloud because of the ease of doing business?
In the past, when we do a proposal, we are always asked to give two proposals. One is a traditional way where I will buy my server, I'll buy the software, and then give me the proposal for subscription base. And then the customer looks at the cost of acquiring the software and hardware. The customer looks at the cost of subscription. Very often, the cost of subscribing is a lot less than if you were to buy. The guys who have a little bit of problem with this tend to compare it with owning a house, right? Which after you buy the house, you stay in it for the next two generations. But IT doesn't work like that. The server lasts 5 years. If you're lucky, 7 years. Right after that, you have to buy all over again. So it's quite different from like buying a house. Mm. So the lifespan of your 100,000 investment probably lasts you 5 to 7 years.
What is the best option for businesses who are not willing to spend a lot on cloud solutions, but they are still interested in sort of the benefits that cloud can bring them? Subscription-based is that model that you really are pushing forward to?
So when we use the word public cloud, essentially it is the same as saying subscription-based. Essentially, someone like Google or Microsoft invests in the data center, in the hardware and the software, and piecemeal, basically they rent it out like Astro, very much like Astro, they rent it out to the SMBs. So some SMBs may feel that it's expensive, but let me change the way we look at things. For example, the mail system from Microsoft costs $4 a month. That is approximately 20 ringgit a user a month. Some people say, wow, 20 ringgit a user a month. But the cost of the employee, right, everything in, we did a quick calculation. On average, you might be paying about 4,000, right? Includes EPM, includes a table and a phone that you give the guy and the allowances. So paying an employee 4,000 a month, the subscription is 20 ringgit a month. That's 0.5%. So how much is 0.5% in terms of time? So one day, we probably have about 480 minutes of working time. 0.5% of 480 minutes is 2 minutes. So if the cloud system is going to save you 2 minutes a day, you already break even. And to be very frank, if you're going to embark on a productivity initiative and it doesn't save you 2 minutes a day, let's not do it. You're saving 15 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour a day. That's something worth doing.
Also, let's talk about trends in automating business processes. It's not just email and internal communications these days, right?
Our most common inquiry is email.
Mm.
I think it's because right now you can't live without email, right? You give quotations by email, you receive purchase orders by email, you get inquiries by email, you get tender clarifications by email, right? So the most common need, right, is to have a reliable email system that is mobile. That means on the fly, I can check emails on my phone and I can reply. But beyond that, customers who have done that, right? The next thing that we're seeing is strangely a resurgence of intranets. Right? Intranets is nothing new. It's been around for a long time. But it was restricted to enterprises because the technology was very expensive. You need web servers, you need database servers, you need the intranet software itself, right? But because of this public cloud, right, it's available as a package maybe for $6, including the email. Right, so it becomes very affordable, and people say, hey, then why don't we put all our important documents there so we can share, right? More than putting documents there, why don't we get work done using an intranet? So can we do our leave application on the intranet? Can we process our claims through the intranet so that we can automate some of this stuff so that the HR people don't have to do so much manual calculation, don't have to do so much right verification work.
And it improves productivity a lot by, you know...
Oh yeah, of course. See, just take the case of transport claim, right? Takes a long time to process. Why? Because a lot of employees, I would say, try their luck, right? You know that you can only claim $150, right? But you try your luck and you claim 170 ringgit and see what happens, right? Usually what the HR girl does is she has to cancel any claims that's not... not authorized, right? And then she has to recalculate your claim, and then she has to verify against all the receipts again, right? So that takes a lot of time, and as a result, right, you have to submit your claims very early, right? Or else you can't get paid on time. Right? So automating some of these things will actually save manpower and actually will speed up, right? At least the claim process or other processes that you might have.
All right, Vincent, we're coming towards the end of the show. Any final thoughts? We're wrapping up the show. What would be your advice to businesses?
So in my company, Fidelis, right, we always say this to the customer, right? Very important, start with your business. What's your plan for the next chapter of your business? Or what's the plan for this year? Okay, to improve sales? To cut costs, to increase productivity, whatever it is, right, start there. And then ask the next question, can IT help? And then what you do is you contact people like us, like Fidelis or your IT vendor, right, and have a conversation with them. You'll be surprised, right, what you might hear and what IT can do for you.
Mm-hmm. All right. I've been speaking to Vincent Choi, an enterprise social consultant from Fidelis and also Microsoft's most valuable professional. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.